CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Taliban on television. I welcome Bill Rajo, a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who keeps the Long War Journal with his colleagues, to begin with the Kabul Attack Network on television in Afghanistan. This is a surprising revelation from something Bill has known about for some time. I'd never seen it so boldly stated. This is a man associated with the deaths of hundreds of human beings, men, women, children, U.S., Afghanistan, Pakistan, international, hundreds of human beings, sitting, what you'd have to say, in poor posture, with a smile on his face, on television. Bill, introduce us to Taj Mir Jawad. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, Taj Mir Jawad was one of two individuals who co-led what the U.S. military used to call the Kabul Attack Network. And what this group was, it was an amalgamation or a syndicate of jihadist networks in and around Kabul. It included Al-Qaeda, the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, Lashkar-e-Taiba, the Pakistani jihadist group supported by the Pakistani military and intelligence, Islamic movement in Uzbekistan, Turkestan Islamic Party, and they pulled their fighters and their resources to conduct attacks against coalition forces, including U.S. military personnel and Afghan forces, Afghan government officials and ministries. They attacked civilian targets such as hotels and restaurants. And their goal was to drive up the death count and make the Afghan government illegitimate and insecure in the capital, in and around the capital. And John, I would argue they killed thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, during their time. The other individual, Taj Mir Jawad, he is a Haqqani network leader. He currently serves as the deputy minister of intelligence for the Taliban's new regime. And the other co-leader is an individual known as Dawood. I'm told that he may actually be, in addition to being a Taliban leader, a member of Al-Qaeda as well. I'm researching this now. I did it. So this tells you the import of this individual. He's on TV, he's bragging about killing it. He claims one particular attack that occurred on January 28th in 2018 that killed women and children and attacked the former Ministry of Defense, I'm sorry, Ministry of Interior inside Kabul, and a lot of civilians were killed. Over 100 people were killed in that one attack alone. And he was responsible for, there were numerous attacks since he was identified as the leader of the Kabul Attack Network somewhere around 2010. It just goes to show that, his evil has been rewarded by the Taliban, and he's been given a prominent role in the regime.
He's on television, Bill, on television during what you'd have to say is the reconsideration of money flowing to Kabul from the frozen bank accounts or from international aid organizations, NGOs. Some of them mentioned sometimes our allies, some mentioned our adversaries flowing money to Afghanistan. That seems unwise, Bill. He's to describe this young man, he looks like a fisherman. He's got a fishing hat on, rimless glasses, chubby cheeks, a beard, of course, not dressed in the usual Taliban black, but in something I'd say of muted mixed colors. His posture is that of a successful sports commentator. He's leaning badly on his left arm and smiling. Bill, this is provocative, almost impudent on the part of the Taliban. Do they have any significant thinking how they're going to get money when they're promoting a mass murderer?
I think, John, the Taliban has calculated that the West is more than willing to ignore things like this, right? The U.S. and Europe, they're so eager to put money into Afghanistan that they're just going to ignore things like this. Look what happened with Zawahiri, right? Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda, sheltering in Kabul and is killed by a U.S. drone strike last summer. Has that changed anything? Has the U.S. said that's it? Everything is off the table. No, they're still talking to Taliban officials. They're still figuring out a way to try to provide money to Afghanistan's bank to prop up the economy, which of course props up the Taliban. The other part about this too, by the way, I'm just going to pick a short detour here. He was doing this on Tolo News, which was the U.S. to help fund Tolo News. It was probably one of the best sources of news and English language news from Afghanistan. And you can see how the Taliban has co-opted Tolo News. It's become a Taliban propaganda outlet. The interviewer is laughing along with Tajmir Jawad, who's bragging about killing, you know, all of those people in Afghanistan. And the West is just going to turn a blind eye to this and figure out a way to give the Taliban money. The Taliban isn't stupid. And he really, if you think about it, when you look at the Taliban's government, is a small fish, right? Sirajuddin Haqqani, the head of the Haqqani network, Tajmir Jawad's boss, he has a $10 million bounty on his head. All the designations for him and his underlings indicate close ties to Al-Qaeda, including fundraising, training, and suicide bombers. Sirajuddin Haqqani is responsible for that offensive that led the Taliban to take over the country. He's the interior minister for the Taliban, the arguably the most powerful position, as well as deputy mayor of the Taliban's Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. So if Siraj Haqqani can get away with being in the Taliban's government with no repercussions, then of course someone like Tajmir Jawad, who, you know, again, is a much smaller fish than Siraj, is going to, you know, he's going to get away with bragging about his murderous activities on Tolo News.
Well, here's the ripple, Bill. The ripple, and you know, when you throw a stone into water, here's the ripple. There is the case made that the withdrawal, the sudden catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan, was regarded by the Kremlin as permission to attack Ukraine. They won't fight. They won't resist. We'll do this quickly, and it'll be ours, just like Kabul is the Taliban's, suddenly. And now what we're demonstrating by having this young mass murderer on television is that it doesn't matter what our forces did in Ukraine. We can brag about it afterwards. There will be no retaliation. It's just a ripple, Bill, and it's possible in the future that the Russians can interpret their violation of all decency as something that happens in wartime. This man, is he on a designated terrorist list? Is he on a kill list anywhere, Bill?
Not that I'm aware of. He is not listed as a specially designated global terrorist. I do know the U.S. military was seeking him. They were targeting his network. He was being targeted while the U.S. was in Afghanistan, but we're not there anymore. Look, there's only been one U.S. counterterrorism operation in Afghanistan since the withdrawal in August of 2021, and that was the strike that killed Zawahiri. The U.S. has really, I don't think they want to take out Taliban officials such as Tajmir Jawad. They're just going to go for the ones that really they think will make a difference, someone like Zawahiri. But, you know, first, I don't think the U.S. wants to antagonize the Taliban, and secondly, I don't think the resources exist in order to take out someone like him. They just, I always go back to this. After the U.S. withdrew, General McKenzie, who was the U.S. CENTCOM commander before he retired a year ago, he said that the U.S. ability to gather intelligence in Afghanistan was down to 1-2% of what it was when the U.S. was in Afghanistan. And frankly, it wasn't all that great while we were in Afghanistan. So it'd be really difficult for the U.S. to go after lower level Taliban officials. They just don't have the resources, the intelligence, and the capability to do so on a regular basis.
So if he gets on an airplane and flies to Europe to lobby for more money from the Taliban, to your knowledge at this point, the U.S. does not have a writ to intercept him and take him under detention and try him for crimes. Is that correct?
That is correct. He's not on any sanctions list that I'm aware of, nor has he been charged with any crime.
We move to another story that is a week past, but importantly, we did not have a claim of responsibility when Bill first reported it. This is the Pakistan Taliban mass murder in Peshawar against a mosque that was very closely linked with the civil police, the people who provide order in this large Pakistan city. But there's controversy here as well, because the Pakistani Taliban is claiming responsibility for the mass murder and denying responsibility. Help me interpret this, Bill.
Yeah, sure. And that death toll in that attack has climbed over 100. So a Pakistani Taliban or movement of the Taliban in Pakistan commander known as Omar Mukarram Khorasani. He sits on the leadership council of the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, and he also commands a faction known as Jamaat-e-Afghan. He claimed credit for this attack. However, the higher level movement of the Taliban in Pakistan denied that the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan participated in this attack. And not only did they deny it, they said, we would never conduct an attack like this in the mosque. And anyone who did this would, you know, would be against our laws and general constitution. You know, they called it a crime. Well, if this is the case, then Omar Khalid Khorasani, who claimed this attack and sits on their leadership council, should be arrested by the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan and tried for his crimes. But I guarantee you, John, that will not happen. This is just, to me, seems to be a not so clever form of plausible deniability that everyone will buy and everyone who matters will buy because, you know, at the end of the day, the Pakistani government wants to try to make peace with the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, as it's done numerous times in the past.
The puzzle here is dozens were killed, and these are police officers. So do we believe that the Pakistan state's position is no retaliation or it'll get worse? They don't want to provoke the Pakistani Taliban. Do we believe there'll be no price paid for this murder?
Now, there's low-level back and forth in the attacks by the Pakistani state against the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan and vice versa. That's happening. But I think that the Pakistani state basically wants to ignore this claim of responsibility because it would make future negotiations with the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan very difficult. Keep in mind, this is a function of what we call the wheel of jihad, right? The Pakistani Taliban fights the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan. The movement of the Taliban in Pakistan seeks shelter in Afghanistan, and they get it from the Afghan Taliban, which provides them support. And then the Afghan Taliban and the Pakistani state are allied, and the cycle just keeps going on. And until that cycle is broken, until the Pakistani state actually says, you know what, maybe the Afghan Taliban isn't our ally because they shelter our enemies, until they come to that realization and do something about it, nothing will change. This is a cynical calculation by the Pakistani state. They'll allow thousands of their civilians to be killed, and they have allowed them to maintain that strategic depth of keeping the Afghan Taliban in power because they believe that that's some type of hedge against India, its real enemy. And India isn't killing thousands of Pakistani civilians. The movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, backed by the Afghan Taliban, is.
Bill, does this attack take place without Kabul knowing about it? Are they separate silos in the theater of war?
They're not separate silos, John, because the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, its leader swears allegiance to the emir of the Afghan Taliban. Now, whether the Afghan Taliban, which also, by the way, denounced this attack in almost identical terms as the top leadership council of the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, I doubt that they're aware of the planning of this operation, but they certainly, you know, they're not sitting in the room and going, yeah, hey, this is a great target for you, here's some resources. But the Afghan Taliban knows full well what the Pakistani Taliban is and what it's capable of and what it's done in the past. So, in a way, the Afghan is much as responsible for this attack as the Pakistani Taliban.
Pervez Musharraf is dead. When we come back, Bill Raggio on his memory of Pervez Musharraf as the president and former general-in-chief of the Pakistani state during the time of the war against bin Laden and his cronies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.